Let me take the opportunity, Chairperson of the Board, to announce in this committee that the committee has taken a decision that we start with Mr. Arnold Singh. We were trying to wait for him. We were expecting him to come at 2 o'clock. So he has just arrived. Good afternoon, Mr. Arnold Singh. I take it you are with your legal people. This is the parliamentary committee that you know of public enterprises. We have invited you to the inquiry of public enterprises in July 2017. We informed the board of ESCOM that we would want to see you in the inquiry. You are expected to come and appear in the inquiry. That was July 2017. We invited you during the week of November, towards the end of November. We invited you and we told you that you have to appear in the inquiry. A week before last, that was the week of the end of November, the week of the end of November, we invited you, we wanted you to be in, to come and appear in the inquiry. Then we received an apology that you are not ready for the committee, therefore the committee must give you time. The committee then took a decision that we must then postpone the inquiry and do some other committee work which was necessary for us to do last week. Then we gave you a date of today. In all those instances, we were waiting for you to give us documents that you said you are still going to collect. You wanted information from the committee. We sent you the information, what we expect from you as a committee. Then we were left with your response for you to send documents for the committee. In our most disappointment, your documents, we received them at 11 o'clock last night. The documents that have 400 pages. I think you expected us to read the documents, the 400 pages from last night, because the people who receive the documents is the administrative part of us, not as public representative. The evidence leader was supposed to go through your documents when they come, but because your documents came in the evening of yesterday, and you are going to appear in the committee today, we could not read not a single page of what you have sent to us. Therefore, this committee has taken a decision that says, number one, you are given by this committee a ticket to fly from wherever you come from to come to Cape Town. We were therefore expecting that you will give us in advance the documents. You didn't do that. We are expected to take you back as the committee after we have engaged with you. But we would not be able to engage with you today because your documents has just arrived in front of, there are your documents. Those are the documents that we need to go through as a committee. Those documents need to go to Advocate Vanara. He must first take them through and see which information is necessary for the committee to take to prepare for the inquiry. We could not do that because your documents arrived at 11 o'clock last night. We are a committee of parliament that take responsibility on everything, even with the finances of parliament. We take responsibility. We hold parliament accountable. There is a body here in parliament that looks at the budget of parliament. So I think that body takes parliament, makes a parliament accountable for the money they use. We are not like ESCOM, where we would feel that if it is necessary for us to give our friends a certain amount, we just give our friends that amount. And we are not taking responsibility on anything. That is not us. We are public representatives. Whatever we do in parliament, we account to the public of South Africa. We are not going. We are going to take you back where we have taken you. We are going to take you back as parliament. But I want to put it on record that we are still going to call you to come in front of this committee. We are going to deal with your documents, and we are going to call you to come and account in front of the committee with all the negative statements that are outside there about you and about the company of ESCOM you were working for. We are not going to continue with the engagement with you. You are going to take full responsibility of coming back to Parliament when Parliament asks you to come back. We are going to give you another date when you should come to the committee and come and account on monies spent in ESCOM. We therefore take the opportunity to tell you that today, we haven't prepared anything because you made us not to prepare for you. We are therefore not going to continue with you today. We are responsible people. We are accountable to the public. Therefore, if we can read the 400 documents that we have, the 400 pages that you have sent us, we will not make justice to this committee. I am therefore guided by the committee, given this responsibility, to tell you that we are not going to ask any questions, we are not going to engage with you today. I will give over to the members of the committee if they want to comment on what I have said, for them to say something. But I want you to register our disappointment as the committee, because we think that we have given you enough time. July, August, September, October, November, it's December, it's the 6 months now. We haven't met you. You seem to have undermined the work of this committee. This is a committee of parliament, and parliament is a senior office of the land. This committee is very serious in doing its work, and we are doing our work diligently, regardless of what other people think of us. We know we are accountable to the people of South Africa, and we are accountable to our organizations as well that have sent us here. Thank you very much. Honorable Luyenge, Honorable Swart, Honorable Mazon, Honorable Dlamini, Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. In fully concurring with you, Chairperson, I want to highlight the following to Mr. Singh and everybody else who is looking upon Parliament to do its work in accordance with the Constitution. We are here for a particular cause, to actually respond to a hypothetical view that says in South Africa there is deliberate looting of state resources, and in particular Eskom is one of those entities that are leading to that. That is the perception that is outside there. It is upon us as the extension of Parliament that we must represent the communities that we are representing here. You must not look at the number that we are. I am saying we are an extension of Parliament. We are Parliament in the true sense. But if the past experience about Parliament being viewed as that body that is simply there for formalities, gone are those times. We have a constitutional obligation to hold each and every citizen of this country, including the executive, to account. It's so amazing, as the Chairperson has reflected, that when we interacted with you, Mr. Singh, from July, but today, on the eve of us starting to engage you, then you are approaching us with a mountain of documents, of which we are expected as Parliament, maybe in the past, it was just a formality, just take these documents to Parliament. They are not going to go through them. We won't give justice to the cause. So, Chairperson, I fully agree with you to say we need to go through this document. Thanks for Mr. Singh, for even at this moment, we are now in possession of this information that we want. What is important is for us to engage, to deliberate, to deal with the issues, because the office that he is in is a very strategic one in the country because of the global standing of South Africa. Eskom, the CFO office, is the one that counts most. So we need to be factual, we need to have time, and we don't have the luxury of time. Thank you, sir.
Chair, I just want to endorse your sentiments. Mr. Singh features prominently in this inquiry, in documentation, and we've been looking forward to engage with him. His lawyers have been here continuously. And there have been many attempts to undermine this committee, Chair. We've seen death threats, we've seen attempts at bribery, MPs have been intimidated, and this is another example of undermining this committee. To give us documents last night is unacceptable, and we as Parliament need to express our condemnation of that. It is very clearly a delaying tactic and a attempt to frustrate us doing our work. But we are resolute and determined to get to the bottom. And so, Chair, regrettably, we won't be able to continue today because of that documentation. But we are resolute and determined to continue our oversight function. And we look forward to engaging with Mr. Singh again in the near future when you have an opportunity to give his side of the story, his version, and of course we will have an opportunity to engage with him as to his role in the various allegations of state capture. So, Chair, I support your sentiments entirely, and I do understand that we won't regrettably be able to continue today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mavon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I for one as a parliamentarian don't like it when Parliament is held in contempt. And this kind of delaying tactic, let me tell you, is not wise, nor is it clever. It's silly and unnecessary. And when the whole country has its eyes on this committee, it is actually shameful for any South African to hold this Parliament in the contempt with which we are being held at the moment. Chair, this committee has done nothing but act in good faith. We have acted in good faith over and over and over again. And the kind of mala fide shown to us today is not acceptable. Chair, Honourable Swart made a very good point that Mr. Singh's legal team has been here with us throughout this inquiry, day in and day out, from hour one till the last hour. This is unacceptable behaviour. And it simply goes to illustrate exactly why we are sitting in this committee. We will not be stopped. We will not be halted. We will not take this as a clever legal move. We take it in exactly the light to which it was given to us. All I can say is thank you for my December reading. I'm going to read it not once, twice, three times, four times. And we'll see you in January. And when we see you in January, we will engage with you the way we should have engaged with you today. But note that shame be upon you for doing it to this Parliament.
Honourable Zamin.
No, thanks, Chairperson. No, mine is simple because I think Singh and his buddies, they decided that they're going to undermine this Parliament. So you must go and tell them, those ones that they face overnight, 600 billion. We are not scared of them. We're going to go to them one by one. We're going to start with him. These documents that he brought to us, you must just know that you go and when we meet up with you, you're going to give us answers, proper answers, not the stories, some of them that we've been being told. But yeah, you must pass that message to your parties as well, that all of them that are in the list, that they must come to this inquiry. It doesn't matter where they get their power that they think they can undermine Parliament. It has come to an end. So we're going to see you, and you're going to answer all the questions, or anything that you want to get clarity from you. But you must never do that. We are not your friends. When we need you to come to Parliament, respect Parliament and come on time and do exactly what is expected of you. It's a simple process. You must not do that to us. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Singh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think in fairness to one Naren Singh, who you all call Honourable, whenever you refer to Mr. Singh, we must say Anuj Singh. So there's no confusion out there in the public that the Singh you're referring to is me. having said that...
We should differentiate between the cousins.
And Chairperson, Honourable Swart is asking me a direct question. Are we family? We're not family. The first time I met Mr. Anuj Singh was when he appeared before Public Enterprises Committee. And unlike our African brothers and sisters, if you are a Mkhize, then every Mkhize in the world is related to you. Or if you are a Buthelezi, the same thing happens. We are not related. So I'm declaring that up front. Now, Chairperson, I must say, when we had a discussion this morning, I was extremely disappointed to learn that these documents had arrived at midnight. You know, Chairperson, and I think I know, that all the committee members here have really been applying themselves impartially, independently, fairly, ensuring that the audi alteram partem rule is respected and we give everybody a right to be heard. And to spring this upon us that now is really not fair to us. And I hope that Mr. Anuj Singh and his legal team take very serious note of that. We don't take too kindly to the fact that this has happened. And if there are going to be any more documents that are going to be supplied from your side, if you can kindly arrange with the Secretariat that they come in good time, so that when we have this engagement with yourselves, we are well prepared. So I support the decision of the committee as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members, and thank you for your support. I think Mr. Anuj Singh is released by this committee. Thank you very much for coming. We are therefore going to forward with our inquiry for the day. We are now going to give over to Advocate Vanar. Do you want to lead the ESCOM, or is ESCOM going to present to us under oath?
No, Chair. The board will do a presentation, after which I'll engage with them, and then the committee will engage. But I just wanted to communicate to Mr. Singh that the committee will get back to him with a date in due course for January.
Thank you very much. ESCOM has got a presentation that it is going to give us as a committee. I take it, as chairperson of the board, you will be leading the presentation. I just wanted to check with the committee. The board, the whole board has come, the board members has come to the committee. Are we going to allow them to respond, all of them, or the response we are going to get from the chairperson only? Honorable Swart?
Chair, maybe we can just first have an explanation of who is here, and then we can see how we go along. Advocate Fanara will be leading the evidence, and one presumes that they might want to go through their document briefly.
Yes, they will go through their document briefly, and then they Advocate Vanara will then engage with questions. But what I'm trying to get your attention to is for the board members are here. Are we expecting them to to respond, all of them, or the response is coming from the chairperson of the board only? Honorable Singh and Honorable Singh.
Chairperson, I would think that responsibility should lie on the shoulders of the chairperson, unless he deems it necessary for any of the other board members to expatiate on any of the remarks. But otherwise, I think responsibility should lie on the chair. Thank you.
Honorable Yang, are you covered?
I'm covered, Chair, with the notion also that if there are special allocated aspects in the report or at ESCOM where a particular board member is actually in charge of, and the chairperson thinks that that particular one can respond to that particular question.
Thank you very much. Can we then be appraised who is here with you, chairperson of the board, acting chairperson of the board?
Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, I have here with me Dr. Pat Naidu, the colleagues of the board member, and I got Sean Maret, who is the acting CEO. That's all.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's three board members, because Dr. Knight and Sean and myself, and the other board members are committed on the different aspects. They are not here. Thank you.
Honorable Singh.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think we are aware that the other colleagues are parliamentary officers of ESCOM to Parliament. Maybe they need to introduce themselves, so we know the whole team that's there.
You want to introduce the whole team?
So we know who they are, that corner.
All right.
The right corner.
Can you do that, Dev?
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, I'm Mapelo Mponela, Manager, Parliamentary Affairs Office.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Nombini Matomela, Parliamentary Affairs Advisor, ESCOM.
Chair, my name is Kulu Pasiwe. I'm the spokesperson for the company.
My name is Mhlago Masekela from the Eskom Legal Department.
I'm Mulika Shabalala, also from Eskom Legal.
All of them, all of you have the gentleman and have you already introduced yourself?
I'm Tony Chivas, I'm an attorney.
Attorney in Eskom.
My name is Christine Kunta and I'm a legal advisor for Eskom board.
Thank you very much for your introduction. So you are fully supported, Chair. The whole bench is here. Chairperson, I will now give over to you. Oh, we need to swear you in. Where is this swearing in? All right. I am therefore advised that you are going to take an oath. Just Advocate Banar, on legal basis, if he takes an oath as a single person, does that bind everybody who's going to respond?
Now, Chair, what I suggest we do is that the Chair and Dr. Naidu take oath or affirmation, and that as and when the need arises for either of them to respond, that we don't go back to swear either.
Can we then swear all three of them in, so that if they respond, they are able to respond all three of them, or will you swear only the two in the board? The two, okay. All right. Mr. Naidu, you are signing in before you have taken the oath, eh? Mr. Naidu, you are out of order. You are illegal. Then we will read the oath that is in front of you. After reading it, you then swear. I see that all of you have already signed in. Let me then take the opportunity in reading the oath that you have assigned. In accordance with Section 16 of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislature Act 2004, as a witness to this oversight inquiry, please be informed that by law you are required to answer fully and satisfactorily all the questions lawfully put to you, or produce any document that you are required to produce in connection with the subject matter of the inquiry, notwithstanding the fact that the answer or the document could incriminate you or expose you to criminal or civil proceedings or damages. You are, however, protected in that evidence given under oath before a house or a committee may not be used against you in any court or place outside Parliament, except in criminal proceedings concerning a charge of perjury or a charge relating to the evidence or documents required in these proceedings. Please be aware that in terms of Section 17(2) of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislature Act, a person who willfully furnishes a house or committee with information or makes a statement before it which is false or misleading commits an offence and is liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 2 years. You are going to take an oath, both of you. I don't want you to sing it in chorus. You'll take an oath first, Chairperson, and then Mr. Pillay will take an oath. Naidu will take an oath after you.
I swear that the evidence I shall give shall be truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. so help me God.
Afternoon, Chair, Honourable Members. I swear that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to say sign it because you have already done you, but you sign the document that is in front of you. I will now give over to the chairperson to lead us with the presentation. Thank you very much.
Honorable chairperson and honorable members of the committee, thank you for invitation and opportunity to share with the portfolio committee on public enterprise and fellow South Africans the evidence issue related to the governance of ESCOM. We put a disclaimer because we got some document that might follow as well and some document that we might add at a later stage. However, we move quickly to the challenges that we're facing ESCOM. In order for the committee to appreciate the current challenges around liquidity and the governance at ESCOM, it is important to give some background of how these challenges emerge. These challenges are interrelated and related to the structural and historical problems. The importance of ESCOM to the country, its people, and economy cannot be overstated. ESCOM generates approximately 95% of electricity used in South Africa and approximately about 45% of the electricity used in other parts of the African continent. ESCOM generates and transmits and distributes electricity to industries, mining, commercial, agriculture, and residential customers, and to distributors. I will deal firstly with the structural challenges, the challenges that the board found when it was first appointed as board members in 2014, headed back to the beginning of ESCOM. ESCOM as a company is 94 years old. The Electricity Commission was established in terms of the Electricity Act of 1922 to stimulate the provision, wherever required, of the cheap and abundant supply of electricity for economic advancement of the Republic of South Africa. While it was run along strict business lines, the objective was largely the provision of the services for the public benefit and not for profit. The organization was directed by the chairperson and six other commissioners, all appointed by the state president, for their knowledge and experience in various sectors of economy and electricity supply industry. The entity was non-regulated and set prices according to its business requirements at the time. On the 1st of July 2002, when ESCOM was converted from the statutory body to a public company known as ESCOM Holding Limited, in terms of the ESCOM Conversion Act 13 of 2001, ESCOM's two-tier government structure of Electricity Council and Management Board was replaced by Board of Directors. Today, ESCOM is also regulated under the license granted by the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, originally under the Act of 41 of 1987, replaced by the license under the Electricity Regulation Act 4 of 2006, and by the National Nuclear Regulator in terms of the National Nuclear Regulatory Act 47 of 1999. Unlike its non-profit mandate at inception, ESCOM today operates with a commercial, compliant, and socio-economical mandate in keeping with the achieving of the social, financial, environmental sustainability. Fulfilling its commercial mandate, ESCOM must ensure that it's financially viable to continue to operate and to raise debt to fund its business operation and capital expansion. In fulfilling its compliance mandate, ESCOM needs to comply with the various licenses and so live by various government policies that govern state-owned enterprises and companies in general. Finally, ESCOM's socio-economic mandate helps South Africa achieve its broader development objectives of the rural electrification, free basic electricity, job creation, and skills and supply development. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, allow me to pause. At this point, many may question whether it was their governance shift that led ESCOM down its current path. On the surface, it may appear so, but deep-rooted reality is that answers lie in its boom and bust cycles. Consistently moving in the waves of excess capacity and capacity constraint in line with economic fluctuation over decades. The boom cycle is typically represented by the excess capacity, increase in sales, excellent plant performance, while the bust cycle manifests itself through the shortage of capacity and poor plant maintenance or plant performance. So while it may appear that ESCOM recently took a stumble, the reality is that its operational and financial performance is expected in line with the best in the boom of the national economic flux. A story that sounds overly familiar is the best of early 1980s, complying with a request made in the mid-70s in the interest of the national economy to delay certain capital projects. ESCOM lost 3 to 4 years of generating capacity expansion, leading to the spate of power outages in the early 80s and excessive capacity expansion programs supported by the government guarantees. In 1983, the de Villiers Commission of Inquiry was established as a result of the concern around the process and the progress of capital expansion program and associated cost and the impact on the economy. Power outages were frequent as a result of unavailability of capacity and the poor plant performance. At the time, plant availability was recorded at 72%. The new build at the time, house technology, was able to accommodate low quality burn as a result of poor sustainability of mines and poor quality coal mines then. This followed by the boom of the 90s, and excess capacity due to the economic downturn experienced in the country. The plant performance was operationally optimally with 97.3 achieved, that is 90% availability of the plant, 7% of the planned outages, and 3% unplanned outages achieved in 1998. ESCOM responded by driving market initiative to increase sales, establish ESCOM Enterprise in 1999 to transition to the new business operation and to grow the new market. It was during this boom cycle that the new democratic government finalized the energy white paper in the late 1990s, outlining additional principles relating to ESCOM monopoly status and proposition of breaking up the sector into separate systems and market operator and the regional electricity distributors. This also included the fateful decision of cancelling the construction of the new generation plant in anticipation of the private investment by independent power producers. It furthermore kickstarted the process to develop regional electricity distributors, or REDs, as per cabinet decision. The REDs were subsequently cancelled in 2008, despite ESCOM having reinforced its operating unit in preparation for transition. The best was followed in 2007-2008, is well known, labeled by ESCOM PR fraternity and engineer as load shedding. Load shedding was a consequence of combination of events arising from the earlier deferral of the plant and investment decision by the government. A similar unsound decision made by the government in the mid-70s. These were low energy reserve margin, inadequate coal supply, and increased plant breakdown in an aging fleet. An insufficient generation capacity coupled with the high demand due to economic growth and customer inefficiencies, thus resulting into load shedding, the control balance of the power grid. ESCOM called for business, commercial, and residential customers to save 10% of electricity and to engage in energy efficiency measures. ESCOM's strategy at the time included demand-side initiative, with integrated demand management, calling all customers to manage the demand by using less electricity, adopting energy efficiency products such as the combat fluorescence light and solar geyser, solar water geyser, and supply side initiative to increase capacity. This included the implementation and the build program, improving generation plant performance, utilizing gas turbines to supplement capacity and to secure sufficient coal to generate electricity. Eskom financial stability was noted as a central challenge despite receiving a 60 billion equity loan from the government. The average tariff failed to cover the full cost of producing electricity, which escalating primary energy cost and embedded derivative link contracts, resulting in accounting loss of about 9.5 billion. In addition, the funding model was inadequate for raising funds to finance the build program. The capital loss of build programs had escalated considerably due to an increase in global construction cost prior to global economic crisis. The board, under the chairmanship of Mr. Bobby Godsell, had introduced a cost management program that could see Eskom breaking even at the operating level. During the later part of 2009, Eskom experienced a leadership vacuum by losing its chief executive and the chairperson, which impacted its reputation even further. From 2010 to 2014, Eskom drove a recovery program, achieving an increased healthy profit. NERSA granted above inflation tariff increase of an average of 31% in 2009 and 24.8% in April 2010. The government support, the include of 430 billion in financial support with 350 billion in guarantees to deliver the country's electricity capacity expansion program. The country hosted a successful FIFA World Cup, which Eskom contributed by keeping the lights on. A new chief executive was appointed and all vacancies in executive level committee were filled. The 2010 IRP proclamated providing guidance on the new expansion and diversification of the opportunities for greater regional development and electricity import. The IRP provides a medium to long-term plan to direct the expansion of electricity supply, including private and owned generation, and power purchases from the regional projects and demand initiatives in South Africa over the period of 2010 to 2030. The IRP determines the timing and the mix of the projects and provides the basic according to the which NERSA will license the project. Eskom subsequently signed on independent power producers to boost supply and diversify for the national energy mix. Plans were in place to retain the previous Mount Paul power station and bring new units online, with the intent to ensure that the IRP, in order to ensure that the IPPs obtain fair access to on the transmission network. The government tabled independent system market operator, EaseMobile. This outlined energy planning feasibility study, the IPP procurement and market administration. This was, however, withdrawn in 2014-2015 as global implementation outlined potential risk. In March 2011, in an effort to secure energy efficient future, Eskom government and the business partners launched the biggest long-term country saving movement called 49M. The objective 49M was to change the behavior and encourage all citizens to become more energy efficient, thereby protecting the planet, saving power, and sparing one's pocket. The campaign was championed by the former Deputy President Halima Motlanthe, the former Minister of Public Enterprise, Minister Malusi Gigaba. The campaign driven by the Eskom Corporate Affairs Division include advertising across the radios, the TV, print media, and it reaches South Africans through the participation of the corporates and the retail partners who activated the 49M campaign among staff, suppliers, customers, and nationwide. The movement urged every South African to lift a finger, which was all it took to switch off a light when not in use. The symbol of the key message, remember your power, and if you are not using it, switch it off, was yellow reminder skin and threads that tied these messages together. This became the single biggest effort driving the South African at the time. The success of the campaign is today evident for the reduction in terms of electricity demand and sales, an increase of the grid suppliers, and increased energy efficient products such as solar geyser, LEDs, and CFL, and from the energy efficient rating on the products in the market. Despite recording a net profit of 5.2 billion for the year 2012-2013 period, Eskom continued to navigate through its financial and operational challenges, funding new investment and obligation to ensure affordability for the household and business remained a key challenge following the revenue gap resulting from MYPD3 revenue determination. Keeping the lights on, stabilizing short-term finance while managing an 8% annual average tariff increase allowed by NERSA, securing the funding for the build program, making progress on the build program, re-engineering the business for more effective performance remain critical in 2012-2013. Operational challenges persist with the continued escalation of the unplanned maintenance. Given a tight supply-demand balance, Eskom had to frequently defer planned maintenance to ensure uninterrupted power supply, taking its toll on the generation fleet, the performance of which had become volatile. Unplanned maintenance had increased from 7.9% to about 12.1% at the end of March 2013. During this time, Eskom also experienced significant setback with the Duva Unit 3 outage. It was in 2013 that the board approved the 80-10-10 strategy, which called for 80% availability factor, 10% for the planned maintenance, and 10% for unplanned maintenance. Eskom limited electricity demand, and during the 2012-2013 demand management initiative, resulted in 2,244 gigawatts of electricity saving. On the 11th of December 2014, a statement on the meeting of the Cabinet of the Republic of South Africa on the 10th December 2014 was released. The Cabinet remained concerned over disruptive effect of the recent power outages and having on the daily lives of South Africans and its impact on the household business across the country. Cabinet adopted a 5-point plan to address electricity challenges facing the country. A technical team called the War Room for the implementation of the 5-point plan is constituted with immediate effect. The 5-point plan addressed the strain our electricity system faces. The plan covers the intervention of Eskom will undertake in the period over the next 30 days, harnessing the co-generation opportunities through the extension of the existing contract with the private sector, accelerating the program for the substitution of the diesel with the gas to fire up the diesel power plant, launching a coal independent power producer program, managing the demand through specific intervention with the residential dwelling, public, commercial buildings, and municipalities through retrofitting energy efficiency technologies. When I assumed my role as a board member at the end of 2014, I was surprised to learn that the landscape was more complex than what perceive it to be as an ordinary citizen. The month prior to my appointment, ESCOM yet announced the development of the turnaround strategy to arrest operational and financial decline and to stabilize the business. The turnaround strategy focuses on key areas as operational sustainability, revenue, customer sustainability, sustainable asset creation, and financial sustainability. ESCOM was still implementing load shedding, and now it was impacting at about stage 3 on the daily lives of the people and industry production. ESCOM's narrative still reads, I quote, "We have communicated for an extended period that the national power system is constrained due to the lack of available generating capacity. To balance and protect the power system, we have to apply the demand management practice, which includes utilizing the OCGTs, the pump storage scheme, as well as relying on the independent power producers. Interruptive load agreements, load curtailment by the key industry customers, and energy efficiency effort by other customers. When sufficient demand savings are not realized, we have to resort to control rotation load shedding." The company still faces financial challenges despite according to a profit of 3.6 billion and recording internal cost saving of about 9 billion. The government provided an equity injection of about 23 billion and a conversion of its subordinate loan to equity, which means it's 23 billion plus 60 billion. The shareholder also granted ESCOM 350 billion worth of guarantees to assist with the borrowing, with the borrowings. The build program was behind schedule and has started later than it should have as a result of the government's attempt to bring in the IPPs. Undertaking a capital expansion program of such magnitude 20 years after completion of such a previous program was met by a loss of skills and a lack of construction experience. The additional challenges of the insufficient funding, the labor unrest and demand on a building site, poor contractor performance, and significant cost overrun on the project, resulting in a significant delay, which ultimately escalated costs even further. ESCOM was hopeful at the time that it would synchronize its first unit at Medupi by the end of 2015. The unit was commercialized on the 23rd of August 2015, 8 years after starting construction on 14 August 2007. At the start of construction, ESCOM had optimistically projected that the last unit of Medupi would be commissioned in 2015. In addition to these challenges, ESCOM experienced a significant safety incident at Ingula construction site where 6 contractors lost their lives on site. This was a pain for the company and resulted in an additional time loss as the Department of Manpower requested the shutdown of the site to conduct necessary investigation. The lessons learned were expensive to both the company and the country, and were regrettably experienced at Medupi, Kusile, Ingula at the time as well. Only the 100 megawatt Sire wind farm came on the budget and on time, having been commercialized on the 31st March 2015. In addition, operational performance was also deteriorating. Generation plant availability declined to 73.7% for the year 2014-2015, compared to 75% in the previous year. Unplanned maintenance had deteriorated significantly from 12.6 in 2013 to 15.2%, partly due to Duba 3 incident and Majuba silo collapse. The financial health of the organization remained under pressure given the flat demand and rising operating costs, particularly in primary energy, such as liquid energy fuel to run the OCGT and the cost of maintenance. Despite this, the renewable program was progressing well as ESCOM purchased about 6,000 gigawatts from the IPPs during the year at a cost of 9.5 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, as newly appointed board, this was the best